Trevor Zamparelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Warning. The following item is not recommended for little ears.
Because it's time for a dose of sex therapy with Rachel Cook.
This is not for little ears or people of a sensitive nature. You have been warned. Do not email me with your complaints because we just don't care. It's time for sex therapy. And I have Rachel Cook on the line to talk about all kinds of stuff. Rachel Cook, good morning. How are you?
How are you? How's it going?
I'm good. We got when we say we're doing a call out or a Q&A with you, we always get so much back. And we got an email in to jen@rte.ie. I'm going to read it to you and hopefully
please
you can help.
Do.
It says, this is embarrassing, but would your sex therapist have any advice for someone struggling with their sexuality? I'm a cross-dresser and I think I'm bisexual.
Is that it?
Yeah. That's it. That is the text. So I suppose advice. They're looking for advice. They say they're struggling with their sexuality. I mean, how common is it to question your sexuality?
Oh my God, it's so common. I mean, a huge number of people really do question their sexuality. You know, a sexual attraction is far more complex than many people can communicate. The presentation of sexuality varies widely across cultures, age, you know, regions, all sorts of things, genders. So there's loads of reasons why people would be confused about their sexuality. And also, you know, most of us realize at a certain point that we've kind of been very much pushed in a certain direction of assuming that heterosexuality is the norm and that anything else is you know, abnormal, basically. So, you know, considering that we now know that certainly for people under the age of 25, roughly 50%, maybe even a bit more, don't identify as fully heterosexual. You know, that doesn't necessarily mean that people are confused. They might feel very sure about their sexuality and it's simply just not heterosexual. But there's vast numbers of people who at some point in their lives will feel confused about their sexuality.
And
so
that's normal.
I think there's quite a lot in this message here because we're talking about what has been traditionally connected for some people is this idea that cross-dressing is related to your sexuality when in fact it doesn't have to be at all.
Okay. What would you say to people who say you're born gay or you're born straight? Because we've talked about being fluid. So is that a loaded comment? Is that a myth?
Yeah, so I would say, you know, absolutely, traditionally, it's been seen that sexuality, you know, it's kind of started off as people not really knowing and assuming that we were all just heterosexual and that anyone born differently was, you know, perverted or there was something wrong with them. Then we moved into this stage in the last sort of 50, 70 years or so, where people have been seen as being born a specific sexuality and that it stays that way. And that's just sort of how it is. And now we have a much more fluid notion that, you know, people's sexuality can change over the course of their lives.
Okay.
That there can be lots of reasons why someone might have a different sense of themselves over time. Sorry, Jen. I'm
That's okay. You
here.
Need a drink of water there, Rachel. My God, I know you have a lot to say.
I'm excited about sexuality and all these questions that we've gotten in. And I just think it's really great that these things are being talked about now because, there's so much more fluidity in people talking about this. And I think there's still people out there for sure. I think what we have to do is recognize that it's going to be a case by case basis. You know, some people absolutely feel sure of their sexuality from when they're very, very young. And that's absolutely fine. And then there are other people who feel not so sure for potentially their whole lives. And then there are others who will feel that it changes for them. So it's not so much that they're confused, but that it simply changes based on where they're at in their lives.
Okay.
And that all of those things are absolutely okay. So it doesn't mean that everybody has fluid sexuality, but that really whatever your sexuality is, however you identify, that's absolutely fine.
I want to read another one out. It says, I've been with my partner for 15 years and I don't want to have sex with them anymore. Does that mean I could be asexual?
Oh, so this is a bit like the first question there, that there's been two things that have been conflated that don't necessarily need to be. So there could be a variety of reasons why you don't want to have sex with your partner after being together for 15 years. You know, it's incredibly common, that desire for one person, especially, you know, if you're in a monogamous relationship, that that will go down over time, that it will fluctuate, that potentially you'll realize that you got together and maybe fell in love or didn't. But there's that, you know, you maybe got together and had a sense of like that was what you should do or that you wanted to do or you liked this person. Doesn't necessarily mean you were that sexually attracted to them. Or it could mean that your sexuality has changed over time. So there's loads of possibilities there. This person also might have always been asexual, and it's only that they're recognizing, as they've maybe questioned more and been more in touch with themselves over time around sex, that actually, you know, they just don't experience much sexual attraction. But potentially, you know, I would say to that person, it's very difficult for them to know. Now, they might find, like, let's say if they watch porn, or they might think about, you know, what they fantasize about when they masturbate, which again, what you fantasize about when you masturbate doesn't necessarily have any correlation with your actual sexuality, because there, you know, can be all sorts of reasons why we might be interested in fantasizing about different power dynamics or different situations that are a turn on for us, but not necessarily something that we would want in real life or is associated with our actual sexual orientation. So I would say to that person, they might be asexual, but just because you don't want to have sex with your partner of 15 years or 5 days or 3 months doesn't mean necessarily that you're asexual.
So explore that first of all and figure out why you don't want to have sex with them. Would that be the way to go with that one?
Definitely have a chat. You know, you can start off by maybe journaling about that yourself. You might want to go to a therapist to talk about it or discuss it with friends, and definitely talk to your partner about it. You know, is it potentially that they're feeling the same, that you're just sort of, you know, tired, stressed, haven't made the time to connect with each other? Maybe you have very different love languages. Maybe you're feeling very resentful towards them, and that just doesn't lead you to feel much sexual attraction. So there's definitely loads to unpack there and discuss with them. Same with the first person where they said that they're a cross-dresser. You know, it's like the vast majority of people, research has shown, the vast majority of people who cross-dress are actually heterosexual. Mm. So it's a smaller number of people who are bisexual, gay, or another sexuality who cross-dress. But there has been this traditional association that if you cross-dress, that must mean something about your sexuality, that you're something other than heterosexual. Now, it's not to say that you can't be. Now, that person said that they suspect they might be bisexual, but they haven't given us any more information as to whether they're associating that just because they like dressing in, you know, women's clothes or lingerie or whatever it is. If, you know, with more information, you can definitely begin to explore that more and see what you might want to do about that.
I know there's a difference between sexual attraction and romantic attraction. How does that relate to someone's sexuality?
Yeah, so there's very, these two things are pretty different for sure. So people can be romantically attracted to a particular gender or genders, but sexually attracted to different genders. So you might find, let's say, that you have a kind of romantic attraction to a friend of yours. It doesn't necessarily mean you want to have sex with them, mm-hmm. but it might mean that you have sort of loving feelings or even in love feelings where you feel infatuated, you know, incredibly excited to see them. You get very excited, you know, kind of about the communication with them and things that you're going to do with them. That doesn't mean that you actually want to have sex with them. So I think it's very useful to kind of, you know, sort of see this as different spectrums that can be absolutely overlapping. Sometimes we're sexually attracted to people that we are romantically attracted to, but sometimes they are quite separate. And that can mean quite a lot of different things then for our relationships with people. But it can also make things a lot more relaxed. You know, it doesn't have to mean that just because you have loving, excited feelings towards someone that it should turn into a sexual relationship, or that it even could, you know. But I think great if people can be a bit more relaxed about the idea that it's okay to have attraction of different forms towards people and not have to act on that, and that not have to mean that there's something bad or wrong about that either.
Attraction of different forms. That's interesting what you said there, because sometimes we just put these feelings into boxes. Oh, this person loves spending time with another person. They sometimes get a little bit jealous. They must want to have sex with them. They must. They must. So that's really interesting what you said. I just want to go back to what people have texted in and emailed in. Somebody said, I think my sister is lesbian or bi, but our dad is really homophobic. How can I talk him around?
Oh, that's really tough. You know, it's great that this person, you know, cares and wants to support their sister. And, you know, that can be, it's just, it's really difficult when that's, you know, a parent. Depending on this person's age, you know, it's going to be potentially quite a lot of a, you know, burden, responsibility for them to do this. And also great if they're willing to go and speak to their dad and sort of just say, look, we really need to talk about this, because whether it's that they suspect their father is homophobic or that he has made comments and said, you know, homophobic things, or, you know, or maybe that's just clear through sort of his behavior, that, you know, absolutely going and speaking to their dad and sort of saying, I'd really like to get some support around this. Maybe if they could speak to another adult, if they're not an adult themselves, and they might want to get other potentially family members involved, which doesn't have to be some like huge intervention, but it might be very helpful to just sort of get some support around that, to be able to say, look, you know, this is what I think is going on. And also talking to the sister, you know, if it's only that you suspect that your sister has a particular sexuality, that you might want to go and gently broach that with the person, that you're not making pronouncements or judgments of them, that you might want to go and say, hey, yeah, look, I've been thinking that this might be a thing and I'd love to talk to you about it. If you feel ready and able and up for it, no worries if not. But that might be a first step, if that's something that you suspect rather than know for sure, and that then after that you can decide what to do about talking to the dad.
Okay. Somebody asked, how do I tell my partner that I think I might be bi?
Oh, so that would, yeah, I would say just literally ask them if they're up for a conversation around, you know, I think really good to, rather than loading this on someone where they might be at the end of a work day and they're tired, or they're just about to go to work, or it's a weekend and you're sort of like just about to go out and do something. You might say something like, I'd really love to sit down and have a chat with you around stuff related to sexuality, or just like to have a chat with you if you could, if you're up for taking some time to, you know, just sort of spend some time, quiet time together, and just sort of start discussing your, you know, how you've been reflecting on your own experience of your sexuality. You know, just because someone suspects they might be bisexual or knows that they are bisexual, that doesn't have to mean anything that needs to change about their relationship. You know, if you're in a heterosexual relationship but know that you're bi, that doesn't inherently mean that you need to go and have sex with people of, you know, another gender, or date them or end your current relationship. It may mean that you decide to do that, but it doesn't inherently mean that. So, it, you know, this is more about your identity and being able to share that with your partner and the people around you, and feel, you know, that you can share that and be open about that, and have people be, you know, accepting and interested and curious, and hopefully all of those things.
And I think we all just need to be open to the idea that sexuality can change for some people and be more fluid and can change later in life. But can sexuality change because of, well, because of bad experiences or trauma?
Yeah, that's, you know, it is possible. Again, some people would say no, that's absolutely not possible, because they might be quite fixed on the idea that sexuality is something that is fixed at birth. And so the idea that it can change because of an experience you've had, some people will say that that kind of demeans your sexuality, or, you know, how much, you know, LGBTQ plus people have fought for sort of rights and visibility. But that actually there are many reasons why someone's sexuality might change, and that doesn't make it any less valid. Now, there is something that I'm seeing, and I know we've talked about this briefly before, Jen, is that I'm seeing more and more women who were previously identified as heterosexual, who have now been, especially over the course of the pandemic, and it is people of all genders, but I'm seeing it mostly being cisgendered women who were previously heterosexual, who are now exploring dating people of other genders. Mostly because they're so pissed off with dating cis men.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This is something that they're trying.
Okay, so well, I've learned a couple of things. Well, I've learned a lot, as I always do in this therapy session. But for just lastly, have you any advice for people who are questioning or worried or whatever? What would you say to them, just regarding their people's sexuality in general?
Yeah, like really just read up about it. You know, there's so many great, great books out there now and guides and podcasts. There's just a massive amount of information that will help you feel so much more, you know, kind of, you know, less weird if you feel weird, less alone if you feel alone, and probably be very eye opening because, you know, the history of a lot of this stuff is fascinating, even around, like, back to the first question around like cross dressing. You know, it's like even just finding out about, you know, that the restrictiveness of gender roles. There is nothing inherently feminine about a skirt or nail polish and how these things are different in different cultures. Now, that's more to do with gender expression and gender identity than it is to do with sexuality, but that these things are certainly, you know, they're separate but connected. Or things like, you know, how the earliest known example of high heels, obviously associated with women these days, but the earliest known example of high heels or you know, where they originated comes from ancient Iran in the 10th century, which was when Iran was known as Persia, and it was the Persian cavalry who wore the first high heels to help keep their feet in their stirrups. But then, like in the 17th century in Europe, high heels were a sign of high masculinity and social status. So how these things change over time is really fascinating, and it can give people just also, it can really reduce stigma and shame and fear and, you know, just sort of ignorance around these things, to be able to read and go and read authors like Meg John Barker has an incredible amount of books relating to gender, sexuality, relationship diversity and stuff like that. So I would absolutely say go research, talk to people you trust about it, chat about it. The less alone that you feel, the more likely you are to be able to kind of accept and explore and enjoy yourself.
Amazing. We'll leave it at that. Thank you so much. That is Rachel Cook, our psychotherapist and mental health consultant. You can follow Rachel on Instagram at Rachel Jane Cook with an E on the end. She is amazing. She's here every week around this time, and she is back next week. If you have a question you would like us to put to her, get in touch with the team 24/7. Jen@rte.ie.
Jennifer Zaffarelli.
Weekday morning from 9
on 2FM.